outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping.
Letters to the editor. That's always a good one, because it's the kind of thing we can do. Headline, declare victory in Iraq, comma, leave. Perfect. USA Today says we should stay in Iraq until stable government and strong military in place. If we do that, however, we will never leave. If Bush really wanted to accomplish the goal, having a stable Iraqi government, strong military, we should have had more boots on the ground. Now, doesn't that make all the damn sense in the world? I heard that monkey say it again. Maybe I can even find the tape and splice it in. But he kept saying today that he's, when they asked him, what about more troops? He said, well, I'm going to do whatever the generals say because they're the experts and they know best. And everybody knows that's a lie. The generals that came to Bush and said we need more troops on the ground were fired or demoted or retired or just done away with. Hell, Bush might have had a few of them killed. Life doesn't mean anything to him. It again and again gives more credence to Randy Rhodes and my, not that we share, but the contention that chaos is what's putting all this money in Bush's pocket. If, because they failed to guard that, what is it, 2,500 pounds of C4? They failed to guard that. So now these crazy hand jobs have got unlimited C4 that'll blow up anything until the end of time. A scoop the size of, an ice cream scoop worth of this stuff will blow a tank up. It'll blow an armored personnel carrier up from underneath or whatever, and it kills all those people. And they've got thousands of tons of this stuff. The chaos is what's put in all the money in Bush's pocket. If he had sent enough soldiers over there to secure the country, then reporters could roam around and write about what's going on. But can you imagine after Katrina, what if he had sent 1,000 National Guard troops into control of New Orleans? Well, 1,000 people is not going to do it. You got a big city there. And 1,000 people is going to get you, 100 groups of 10? Well, there's more than 100 neighborhoods there. And 10 soldiers is not going to quiet down a neighborhood. You know, if you got 100 rioting people, and you got snipers, you got every other damn thing in the world, 10 soldiers per section of town is not going to get the job done. But that's what they've done in Iraq. They have sent over so few soldiers. And I keep hearing from the liberals, oh, Hillary's a bad person. She's just like Bush. She's Bush's exact, identical, DNA-matched twin. Because Hillary thinks we need more boots on the ground over there. Excuse me, but every military person I've heard of that's not loyalty beholden to Bush has agreed that we need more boots. If we're going to do it, we have to do it right. We can't turn around and leave, and that's another thing that people say, we got to leave right away. I haven't heard anyone address the subject. If we leave, Zakari, whatever that guy's name is, he gets the $100 million or the $200 million a day that Bush is stealing. Can we really give Zakari $150 million a day to do whatever he wants with? I don't think that's a good idea. You give a crazy man like that $100 million a day, and in 10 days he's got $1 billion, and $1 billion can probably buy an atomic bomb, and there goes New York, there goes L.A., there goes a whole lot of places. So I think it's a bad idea to turn over Iraq's vast billions of dollars a day over to Zarqawi. But the left wing, when we argue about this, they seem to not want to bring that subject up. When they say, we got to get out right now, well, you just made Zarqawi the new sheriff. Is that a good idea? I don't think it is. I don't think the military people think it is. Apparently Hillary doesn't think so. I don't think the Pentagon thinks so. The only people that think we should stay there forever are Bush's buddies. The liberals say we got to get them home today, and somewhere in the middle, I think, is the same position. I remember during Vietnam, they said it was going to take years to get out. And you think, well, why don't you just turn and run? Well, I don't know. I'm not much on the military. I'm not a military man. But it seems to me you got to have enough soldiers over there to do the job, and we don't have that. So that gives them the chaos that allows Bush to steal his $100 million a day. And as far as how many soldiers are dying every day, he doesn't care. You give an oil man $100 million a day, he doesn't care how many soldiers. It's not like Bush is going to these funerals. It's not like these are wealthy soldiers dying over there. These are the poor. These are the black. These are the rural soldiers. These are the ones with the low IQs. But somewhere in my stack, I have a story that says the majority of the soldiers over there are the smart ones. They said something like 75% of the regular Americans, or whatever, non-military, graduated high school, but 95 or something percent of the military has. And I don't believe that's true at all. They keep lowering the standards for the military to get someone to sign up, but they're trying to sell us the idea that 95% of them, it might even have been 98% of them, had high school diplomas. I think we're being lied to. Back to this letter to the editor. If Bush really wanted to accomplish the goal of having a stable Iraq, strong military, we should have had more boots on the ground. Given the climate of the times, though, I don't think it will happen. Even with the U.S. presence in Iraq, chaos and a civil war are evident. The longer we stay, the more dependent Iraqis will become on our soldiers, which is very true. If you're an Iraqi guy standing there, would you rather have the superpower protecting you or the local hand job that can't figure out which end of the gun to put in his mouth? The longer we stay there, the more dependent they'll be on us. We accomplished our goal getting rid of Saddam. We should declare victory and leave. How many more Americans have to die in vain because of the incompetency of a president who is unfit to hold any form of office, let alone the presidency? Reba Shamansky in New York. Reba, you sound like someone who reads Barkup.com. If you do, and have, or had, why don't you just call the bar phone or send me an email. I'd like to say congratulations to you. Here's one on this John Martha. I've always respected John Martha. Always respected Martha's military and congressional service, but I disagree with his recent editorial on whether the United States should pull out immediately. Now, I like Martha. I like what he said. But what is wrong with the guy when he says we got to pull the troops out as soon as it is practicable? What the fuck kind of word is practicable? I never heard of the damn word. I'm 52. I've heard of most words, but I never heard of practicable. So I went to the Merriam-Webster, whatever that's called. It's m-w.com, I think, and I looked up practicable, and basically it means practical. So what this guy Murtha was saying basically is, bring him home as soon as we can. But because he spoke stupid, because he used silly words that nobody knows what they mean, everybody, it's like the Second Amendment, everybody got to interpret it different. So you got the Democrats saying, we can't leave immediately, we can't leave immediately. Well, granted, we can't leave immediately, but that's not what he said. He said as soon as it's practical. If we can, I think he said starting the first of the year, why don't we start drawing down the troops? And then, you know, I guess he's talking about whatever parts of the country are most stable. Let's pull those guys out first, and then, you know, as time goes by, whatever, we move out. But no, because he used stupid language, because he used language that other people could manipulate, now he's become the idiot. He's the guy who wants to give Zakari the $100 million a day. John, why didn't you use... Did you talk to John Kerry? Did Kerry help you with your speech, John? Is that what happened? You talked to someone who with gobbledygook in their brain and marbles in his mouth to help form your message, and here you are, a household name now, and you're known as the crazy guy who wants to do the impractical. Matter of fact, because you used stupid words, John, they took a vote the next day, and you lost 403-3, I believe the vote was. Now, John, when you lose over 99-1, that means you made a mistake somewhere. And granted, the bad guys twisted your words and they turned it all around on you, and the idiot gelding Democrats, they decided to stab you in the back because that's what idiot gelding Democrats do. You know, you couldn't get anyone to stand up for you because you used the wrong words. Why couldn't you have said, John, it would have been so easy to say, we've got to get these troops home now. All they're doing over there is dying. I think we should have fewer dead. Does anyone disagree with that? And everyone's going to say, oh, no, we're all for fewer dead. Okay, so let's start bringing them home. Let's bring them home as quick as we can, as safe as we can. You know, if he just used kind of normal talk, but no, practicable, whatever the hell that means. So then the monkey and Karl Rove, they turn that around to being, let's surrender to Zarqawi and cut and run. And that, oh, that bitch, that Gene Schmidt, oh, don't get me started on Gene Schmidt, because I'm liable to call her a word that we don't use on Barkup.com. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Bart told me a funny story. She was listening to Randy Rhoads, And Randy Rhodes was explaining the origin of the C word, which I didn't know. She said, I think it had something to do with a cave. And so she didn't want to call Gene Schmidt the C word. So she called her a caver or something like that. And I don't know, you know, I get dizzy when I think about things like that. But somehow Randy Rhodes wanted to call her the C word. And she sort of semi around the bend did that. But who in the world is Gene Smart to stand up and look at a man who's got bullets in his ass? No, it's Kerry. But Murtha was wounded in Vietnam. I just don't know, you know, a couple Purple Hearts, Medal of Honor. They give him some kind of Vietnamese medal. I don't think I'd want a Vietnamese medal, would you? I mean, doesn't it sound, you know, I understand what they meant, but he won the Vietnamese Valor Medal something. That just sounds wrong. All the medals should start out with the United States, the Congressional, the Presidential, something like that. Instead of the, but anyway, here this guy went over there, fought for his country, took bullets, and then that slut calls him a coward. Oh, lady, you don't want to do that. You just did so wrong. And I think this is a lady who barely beat that Hastings fella. So maybe Hastings will, I believe Hastings is going to run for Senate in 06. So, but Gene Schmidt, your time is coming. Your days are numbered. I would enjoy dancing on your funeral, or at your funeral, on your grave, whatever. But anyway, a couple letters to the editor. Let's close this segment out. Do another.
I really can't.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice. Beautiful, what's your
name? So the president goes on this tirade about the enemy without conscience. They can't be appeased, but Bin Laden's got to be pleased. And he talks about September 11th, and then they blew up the subways in London and Madrid and murdered tourists in Bali and in Riyadh, and yet we're fighting in Iraq. I mean, it really makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. And when you hear John Murtha speak about this, and when you hear General Odom, now, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, it doesn't matter. War knows no political party. See, when you die in a war, no one cares how you voted. You see what I mean? But somebody's got to tell the Democratic Party that you can't wait until Bush is in negative numbers to show some spine. You can't sit here and look at these numbers like I'm looking at these numbers. Here's a little math lesson for Democrats. When looking to win a popular vote like a congressional election, and 65% of the people are on one side of an issue, go ahead and gamble with the 65%. Go ahead. Throw in with the 65%. There. Just a little lesson for the Democrat, particularly when they're right. You know, this is a win-win. The 65% that want us out of Iraq here in America, who will vote no six, are right. 65%, more than a majority, in a popular vote known as the congressional midterm elections, are going to vote 65%. Did you see? And here's something you can argue about Democrat leadership or Democrat members. There was a poll conducted in Tom DeLay's very Republican district of Sugarland, Texas. And you know, a plurality, over 50-something percent, I forget what the exact number was, of the people in Sugarland will vote for an unnamed Democrat rather than vote for Tom DeLay. Go nuts, people. Go ahead, Congress people. Go ahead, gentlemen and gentle ladies. Go nuts. Throw in with the 65% of America that think this war is a loser. Our troops did what they were asked to do. They deposed Saddam Hussein. They caused regime change. They have accomplished their freaking mission. Bring them home. And then you take care of them. I just don't even understand it. I mean, look, Democrats, I understand you've been in the minority. You're really sticking a long time. How do you think I feel? Didn't stop me from fighting the good fight, though. I knew I was right to be left. I knew I was. So I kept on to, you think that if I didn't throw, if I would have just said, oh, okay, I'll do what I do. Same exact, you know, format, same style, same humorous Randy, same lovable girl. Except I'll advocate for the conservatives. I could have been syndicated 1,000 years ago. But I said, no, they're wrong, I'm right. And even if I came out with a cure for cancer, they tell me I was wrong. And they have stem cell research. They tell me I'm wrong. Who cares? I know I'm right, you know you're right. To be left, be left.
What did you do?
We was looking for weapons of mass destruction.
Did you ever find them?
You know goddamn well we ain't find them. What are you, some kind of political humorist? You Gary Trudeau up in this bitch?
I was looking for bitches, but they had that carpet shit all over them and I couldn't see what they looked like. All that was really exposed was the eyes, and that wasn't enough for me because, you know, I'm looking at the eyes could be pretty, and I take that carpet off, and then I got a tragedy.
Well, no, we ain't fine. But I always say the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
What?
Simply because you don't have evidence that something does exist does not mean that you have evidence that something doesn't exist.
What?
What country are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of. They speak English in what?
What?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yeah.
So you understand the words I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that there are known knowns and that there are known unknowns, but there's also unknown unknowns, things we don't know that we don't know.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more time?
I think I saw old Santa through my window Christmas Eve. My eyes were really droopy, but I really do believe it must have been old Santa, 'cause I saw his big red head. And I know my mom and dad can't fly like that. Oh no,
I know my mom and dad can't fly like that.
Yeah, this is Bart Conan. I'm the old Bart phone because I'm in my car and I heard something that pissed me off. These hand job Republicans are making this big thing out of Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. Well, who gives a fuck? What is wrong with these idiots? That's all they got there. We got a war going on. The economy's in shambles. Half the Republicans are under investigation or already been arrested or going to prison or busy with treason. They're just doing all this shit, and all these hand jobs on talk radio can talk about is Merry Christmas. Hannity's doing it, O'Reilly's doing it, Rush is doing it. They're all just lining up. I heard that hand job Hannity the other day say on his show they had the courage to say Merry Christmas. Fuck you, Hannity. What are you, crazy? These are the same hand jobs that made a big thing out of freedom fries instead of french fries. That's all they've got to do is run around and be the word police and try to scream at somebody who doesn't use the same word that they do. What is wrong with them? Why the hell can't they get on something of substance? Why can't they do something? They talk about the Democrats don't have any ideas. Well, that's all the Republicans have is Merry Christmas. They're going to make out like the Democrats want to steal Christmas from you because that's how stupid the voters are. They are so goddamn stupid, they'll probably vote Republican next time so they can save Christmas. And the Democrats can't figure it out because they don't listen to me. This is Bart, and I'm pissed again.
Hey, Bart, it's Lone Wolf here. I have a comment to make about George W.'s comment about the United States Constitution being just a piece of paper. Well, I got news for him. So is the goddamn freaking Bible and the U.S. flag. All they are is cloth and paper. Who the hell does he think he's fucking kidding? I hope you run this one in your show, Bart. I'd love to hear people's response to my actions. I posted up on Portland Indie Media and up on DC Indie Media titled, "Anybody Got a Match? I Want to Burn the Flag and the Bible." Have a good day, Bart. Bye.
So I'm reading the U.S. Whore today. Big headline, DirecTV to pay $5.3 million do not call fine. FTC says firm knowingly violated marketing rule. Satellite TV provider DirecTV will pay a $5.3 million penalty to settle charges that violated the Federal Trade Commission's Do Not Call telemarketing rule. The civil penalty is the largest ever assessed by the FTC in a consumer protection matter and is the 18th enforcement action involving the Do Not Call rule. The FTC says telemarketers working on behalf of DirecTV called consumers who had placed their names on the Do Not Call registry. Five of the companies and six of their executives were also charged. The FTC also says DirecTV provided considerable support to telemarketer Global Satellite, even though it knew or consciously avoided knowing the company is violating the rules. The proposed settlement, which must be approved in court, oh, great, just get a Bush judge. No fine, no penalty. Prohibits DirecTV or any of its telemarketers from calling people who ask not to be called or failing to put a salesperson online within 2 seconds after the consumer answers. Telemarketers often use automated calling systems to dial many numbers simultaneously to increase the chance someone will pick up the damn phone. Boy, and that's my phone rings like a mother, you know what? It just rings and rings and rings. It'll probably ring before this damn bit is over. But God, I hate that because we do not answer the phone. No matter what, we do not answer the phone. If you identify yourself and you're someone who I want to talk to and I don't have other shit to do at the time, then we might have a conversation. But I never, ever, 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 never, never answer the damn phone because it's always some effing carpet cleaner or some charity, which I'm okay with the charities, but these damn satellite sons of bitches, it just goes on and on. But the thing that pisses me off, all right, DirecTV is owned by Rupert Murdoch, the big Nazi bastard from the Republicans. They put all their faith in foreigners. Rupert Murdoch is an Australian, so obviously when he runs Fox News, he's got America's best interests at heart, right? Same for the Washington Times, run by the Moonies. There's just no reason why the Republicans have to put all their eggs in foreign baskets when they're trying to get the news out. But maybe if you're from another country, you have no loyalty to America, so it's easier to lie. Who knows? But these DirecTV bastards, getting a fine for $5.3 million is nothing. It's nothing at all, and I'll explain why. Let's say their hyper-aggressive marketing techniques give them an extra million subscribers a year. I don't know what your cable bill is, but I'll bet if you have basic cable, well, you can't have basic cable because there's so much you're missing, but say you got basic cable and you got one of these packages and then one of those packages and maybe an HBO, you're probably talking about $60 a month, $60 or $80, I don't know. Just for argument's sake, let's call it $80 a month. Maybe yours is cheaper. If I'm lying, sue me. So $80 a month times a million people, that's $80 million a month. That, by my good Catholic math, is $1 billion every effing year. And it would be my guess, people who get the satellite are probably satisfied with it. So you might be hanging on for 5 years, let's say. So that's $5 billion that the son of a bitch is going to make. And they're paying a $5 million fine for breaking all the rules. That's what, 0.1%? This is bullshit, but this is how the crooked... I know you don't need another example how crooked this fucking Congress is, but it just pisses me off when they steal $5 billion and they get caught. Now, see, think of all the times they didn't get caught. But after they get caught stealing the $5 billion, they got to give back $5 million, which is 1/1,000th. Now, crime pays is just the bottom line because, you know, the Congress has to be tough. Because, you know, oh, they got to be tough. You know, when the billionaires steal $5 billion, they get a 0.1% slap on the wrist. But think, what if you're some pimply-ass 15-year-old teenager and you get caught downloading 10 Metallica songs? Do you know each download you get caught with is a $10,000 fine? A 15-year-old has never made $10,000 in his whole life. I don't care how many paper routes he's run. But they go after the little bitty guy with everything they have. That, you know, they what they do, they browbeat these poor little kids. They bust a 15-year-old and probably bust their parents, too, because that's just more pressure. You bust a 15-year-old, tell him he owes, you know, $400,000 or... He can, you know, maybe do some community service. Maybe they negotiate a lesser fine. They take your computer away. You know, they'll think of some way to punish you because nobody's got $400,000 to give to the crooked bastards who are charging you for the crime of enjoying music. But then you got a multi-billionaire like Rupert Murdoch. He gets caught stealing the big, big money. You know, it's always the same old thing. If you're Kenny Boy, lay it in, Ron, and you steal hundreds of millions of dollars, all the while guaranteeing your thousands of loyal employees that their money is safe. He hadn't even been to trial yet. Hell, Martha Stewart was found guilty, has done her time, and now she's back out. But Kenny Boy, because he stole billions, Martha Stewart, what, was had a little questionable $40,000 or something in there. So she had to do time. She's a Democrat. But when you're a friend of the president's, they just drag their feet and nobody cares. The press doesn't care. The Democrats don't care. The people who are sitting in jail, you'd think Martha Stewart would put up a fight. She's a billionaire. Why should she be sitting in prison when the other billionaires who got caught with real crimes that hurt thousands of families, they're still sitting around the house in their mansion on their yacht, whatever, waiting to go to trial. Maybe they'll go to trial, maybe they won't. You know, like Nixon. Kenny Boy's going to end up with phlebitis or something. You're not going to be able to go to trial. Oh, boo-hoo, poor him. But it just pisses me off that it's always, if you're Kenny Boy and you get caught, you know, you don't even get a slap on the wrist. I guess he's been somewhat publicly humiliated, but oh, you don't want to be talking about this last issue. You don't want to be the black guy who stole a pizza and you got two felonies against you. Now you're going to jail for life. And it just ought to be that when you steal $1 billion from thousands of families, now you ought to go to jail for life. But no. You know, he's got a few hundred million squirreled away, so hell, I'd be surprised he didn't pay one of his buddies to fly him to Bimini or somewhere, just get the hell out of the country with his hundreds of millions of stolen loot. With that little 15-year-old kid, though, he's got nowhere to go. But it's just bullshit. It's bullshit from the word go. There's no justice in this country. This country is stupid. You know that? I'll be the Bart, why do you hate America? Because it's stupid. It's stupid, 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 where all the rich get whatever they want, and the poor, we just fuck them. We fuck them to death, and we put their case on the front page, so everybody else is going to be scared. But if you're Kenny Boy, we just don't. When's the last time you even heard Ken Lay's name? Have you heard it in the last 6 months? Have you heard it, you know, have you heard it more than a couple times this year? No, it's all back burner stuff, just like Bush's crimes. They're not important. If it doesn't involve sex, we don't care. We're the press. We're the Democrats. We just don't care. But I just get tired of them beating up on that little kid while the billionaires go free. I don't like Rupert Murdoch. There, I said it.
The toy shop door is locked up tight, and everything is quiet for the night, when suddenly the clock strikes 12, the fun's begun. The dolls are in bed.
Guess what conservatives or rich people, whoever it is that's agnostic about the environment, I don't get what they don't get about you're going to die too. You know, the short-sightedness. I talk to people, and they didn't even contest it. You tell them things. All the animals are migrating northward. The glaciers are shrinking. The oceans are not just warmer, but they're more acidic. Yeah, but the weekend's going to be nice. And they get away with it because they're so much better at manipulating us. They're better at words and language. They're better at pictures and images. They can make good things seem scary and scary things seem good. They have emptied the treasury to give money in tax breaks to their rich friends who don't need it, but they call it tax relief. Relief. Put you in mind of unbuckling your belt for a good postprandial fart after Thanksgiving, doesn't it? It's relief. Oh, tax relief. They're good at that. The Democrats are bad at it. Global warming. Sounds nice. Global warming. What's a warmer word than warm? They should call it something really scary like climatia. That's what we need. Some of that. I read that the Earth used to have 19% oxygen in its atmosphere, and now it has 9%. Now, I know that's not a fact you'll find in the Bible. And I know it's not something we should really care about, like activist judges or boys kissing. But maybe it matters a little. It, folks, could affect Tom and Katie. The atmosphere is our most vulnerable point. It absorbs 95% of the Earth's energy, acting like a giant mirror, and 40% of it is gone. When I heard that, I said, honey, that sounds important. And I'm not even married. I just felt so alone at that moment. I had to reach out to somebody. Because I have a president who thinks that Kyoto is that guy his father threw up on in Japan. You know, I hear numbers from this administration like 2018. We will reduce mercury emissions in the air by 70% by 2018. Shut up about 2018. Are you crazy? Fix it now, not 2018. Even if it does, sin of all American sins, impose a cost on business. Yes, that's called the cost of doing business. Now, I know, and as Americans, we love to vote our pocketbook, but small suggestion. Next time, vote your lungs, vote your kidneys, vote your gallbladder, vote the organs that are going to have to process all the toxic crap that is in the food, the water, the air, and the pharmacy. Vote your grandkids' DNA. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming out today.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you hear.
You've been listening to Bart Cop Radio.
Silver bells, silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time.